I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a joke among the St. Cross clergy that of all the preachers, I preach the shortest sermons. Well, on my last Sunday preaching here at St. Cross, I hope you packed a lunch because I have a lot to say and this is going to be a long one. I'm shooting for a whopping 12 minutes, so don't fall asleep on me, Reverend Patty. Earlier this week, I came across an article in the New York Times about what Olympic athletes eat for breakfast. And it probably won't surprise you that the top athletes in the world are very dialed into their diets, and they consider it to be part of their strength and conditioning routine. They know what nutrition they need and when they need it. And so their breakfasts are often loaded with carbohydrates for energy and protein to repair muscle and recover between workouts. And these breakfasts include things like overnight oats with protein powder and granola with almond milk and fruit, pancakes topped with banana and lots of maple syrup. One athlete even makes his own bacon and egg quiche with a butternut squash crust, and lots of second breakfast post-workout training meals. Workout gels, salami sandwiches, homemade bone broth. And all of this is meant to sustain their bodies for the training that these athletes put themselves through. And all this, in this article, got me thinking about this morning's gospel lesson. Because in it, we hear Jesus refer to himself as a kind of sustenance. Sustenance that sustains our spiritual lives and that draws us into relationship with God and eternal life. Now, in this story, Jesus boldly proclaims that he is the bread of life, assuring that those who come to him will never hunger. And that phrase, "I am the bread of life," is one of the seven famous "I am" statements used throughout John's gospel to point to Jesus' divinity. And used here in this lesson, it also beckons us to consider how Jesus is analogous to bread and this overarching theme that Jesus is bread because he sustains life. But this somewhat ordinary analogy can also be a bit confusing. And it certainly was for the crowd who originally heard Jesus say these things, so much so that they began to grumble and to complain. Isn't this the same guy whose parents are Mary and Joseph, ordinary members of the community? How can he claim to come down from heaven? And their complaining reveals that they can't quite grasp the transcendence that Jesus points to in this analogy. It is also meant to call the reader's attention back to how the Israelites similarly complained in the wilderness when God provided them with manna, bread from heaven. You probably recall that story. And here, Jesus picks up on that story from the book of Exodus about manna and Moses and the wilderness to redefine bread in a new context. Unlike the manna, which was perishable, Jesus indicates that he is the bread that sustains life eternally. Now, that phrase, eternal life, is interesting. We might think that it refers to going to heaven after we die. But here and elsewhere in the fourth gospel, Jesus talks about it in the present tense. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life." The kind of eternal life that Jesus talks about is one that begins in faith and trust in the here and the now, and continues beyond the grave into eternity. Jesus suggests that the bread he offers leads to union with God that endures. He is talking about a divine life that is offered to us even in the present, right here, right now. Jesus is the nourishment that enables us to be fully alive. He is the source of spiritual energy when we are overwhelmed and exhausted. He is our strength and guidance when we are weak or in trouble. He is the bread that draws us into a life of meaning. Jesus sustains us so that we might participate in the big work of life, a life that moves us to consider how we relate to God, our family, our friends, our neighbors, to the people on the other side of the fence. In making this analogy to bread, Jesus makes himself as necessary to us as the food we eat. And every Sunday, we come to table to eat of this bread that sustains us. As one Episcopal priest writes, every time bread is taken, blessed, broken, and given to us, Jesus calls us once again to abide in his love so we may live his love for others, all others, no matter what. This, he says, is eternal life, here and now, every day. When we say amen after receiving the bread at communion, we confirmed that what we have received is what we are to become, the body of Christ. And when we are nourished and feed on Jesus, we can be nourishment to others. Becoming the body of Christ is always an ongoing process, but over these past 5 years, serving as one of your priests here at St. Cross, I have certainly experienced this community to be an embodiment of Christ's love. I have been so inspired to witness all of you humbly, steadily, and lovingly give yourselves to one another and to the people outside of these church doors. This loving community, full of all you wonderful people, has helped to reaffirm my belief that church is a place where folks can be themselves and know that they are loved. My family and I are eternally grateful to the clergy, to the staff, and to all of you who make this possible. Okay, that wasn't quite 12 minutes, not even close. And no one fell asleep, so that's good. But just as the Olympic athletes sustain their bodies with a nice, hearty breakfast, may we continue to be sustained by Jesus, the bread of life, who always works to draw us into the big work of life, a life of joy, of meaning, and a love that endures through eternity. May you know the blessing and the nourishment you have been in my life, the blessing and the nourishment you are to those around you, and the wonderful way you make known the sustaining love of God. Amen.